Hi there, and welcome to Nika's Nuggets, where we sort through the happenings of life in search for the pebble in your shoe, the bears on the road, and the beliefs that keep you from moving swiftly along your path. Self-care, mental health, spirituality, and more nuggets to be found on the road forward. Are you coming? What other thing than money carries with it this huge shadow, as well as a means to escape death? Both of these things carry intense electric charges of attraction and aversion, and they come wrapped together with sometimes intense power dynamics. Only one thing it could be: sex. Sex and money overlap in their respective arenas of knowledge and execution, and when we engage with them without skill or practice or knowledge, they can carry us into real ignorance, alienation, and addiction. If you just think for a moment of all the stories and opinions that you've heard surrounding sex during your lifetime, whether these are true or false or real or not or based or whatever, if you think about all of the things that you've heard about addiction, and, you know, the lonely and paranoid, very wealthy people. If we put it more simply, actually, both sex and money can act as poison. This is the bad news. But the good news is that, as any skilled herbalist or alchemist would tell you, when met with vast knowledge and great skill, poison can also act as medicine. It is by now fairly well understood and accepted knowledge that through certain Buddhist and tantric practices, sexual energies can be used for creative purposes and to fuel an awakening into a more profound non-dual truth instead of, you know, our daily and plain old ins and outs, forgive the pun, and objectifying lust. Money and all the energies that come with her, sales, business, gifts, debt, receiving, all that, have the same tantric potential for non-dual awakening. Now we know, or we assume, the weirdness of sex. But what about the weirdness of money? First off, there are quite a lot of sketchy feelings surrounding money. Our society is deeply obsessed with wealth and status. We worship those who have a lot of money, but we also curse them, especially those who have even more and those that refuse to share back into society. People that have a lot of money and a conscience will try to avoid rubbing less fortunate people with their nose into this fortune. They will donate, and they will still encounter stress around money. I have too much, I have too little, what if I start making less, what if I can't pay this, what if I end up having to, quote unquote, shrink back down to a lower level of income and wealth, blah, blah, blah. Those of us on the lower spectrum spend a lot of time feeling, and much worse, being treated as less than. And we dream of lucrative successes that seem forever to remain out of reach. So what happens is that everyone becomes very protective of their wealth, their schemes, their ideas, their triumphs, as well as their failures. And with the global economy as it is right now, we find ourselves wondering ever more where all the money is coming from and where it goes, why it isn't being distributed where it's needed the most, and how we are supposed to keep up with groceries and energy bills while certain big corporations, who I will leave unnamed, make front page news and record earnings. I mean, what? Second, money is deeply and subtly tied into this moral sense that we have of worth. But as we all know, there are plenty of morally suspect individuals who have loads of money, while many, if not most, virtuosos don't. And there is yet this shadowy cultural belief that having money somehow connotes to having God's favor, and lacking money becomes this shameful fall from grace. And this whole thing stems from a rather Protestant and Puritan worldview that our current capitalist society sprouted from. So those that seem to least deserve it apparently buy their way into heaven, whereas the rest of us are stuck in purgatory until we can figure out how to make seven-figure salaries. That's fair, right? No. Is this the right time, by the way, to remind you all that in medieval Europe, the wealthy and the church, under the guise, of course, of building a better world, distributed a lot of wealth and lands among themselves, and pardons from the state as well as the church could be bought. Anyway, quite ironically, many spiritually or magically inclined people rebel against this whole farce of economics by choosing, quote unquote, struggle or poverty, by trying to distance themselves from this whole perceived ick that is money. So they end up giving their labor away. More ironic, then, is that this too comes from a heavy dose of Puritan judgment. It's important to recognize that money as a spiritual and intelligent force hasn't a care in the world for anyone's moral quality, but absolutely every care to charge or jumpstart non-dual perception, you know, like tantric sex can do. Thirdly, money is weird. Weird with a Y. W-Y-R-D, weird. This is a Norse Germanic term referring to fate and the way that the future strangely influences the past. Modern physicists recognize this nowadays as retrocausation. Quick sidebar. I use this term a lot. You will find it in my bio on my socials. You will find it on my website. Weird, with a Y, is not just faded and strange. I'm sorry. It is also the root of modern English weird, W-E-I-R-D. Fate is inherently weird to us, who will never be able to see the complete picture because of our tiny human minds. But I use it to remind myself and those I encounter, you listening, for example, that worrying about the hows and the whys is like trying to untangle a woven masterpiece. Is it strange? Sure. Weird even? Yes. Might mean it's also faded, though. Anyway, money is weird. Money is an underground spirit who operates as such mostly in the unconscious realms. This slippery and shadowy quality makes it very amenable to shadow work. And it also causes it to show up as an energy that often eludes our rational and more conscious intentions. Shadow work is a term coined by our good friend Carl Gustav Jung, who was a shrink and researcher. And mostly what it refers to is everything that happens in your unconscious, everything that is the opposite of what you bring out by daylight, so to speak. There's, of course, a much more complicated and a far better explanation to what shadow work is. But for all intents and purposes, it is making what you have that is visible, taking the opposite of that, which is what you have unconsciously as the balance, counterpoint, the dark to the light, and then making that visible. So if you want to join me in a little shadow work exercise for money, it's called gratitude for debt. This sounds weird, but we just discussed what weird is. So first, I want you to take a pen and some paper. Take a few deep breaths, make sure that you can't be disturbed, put your phone on silence or put it in another room, and start by writing down the name of a person or an institution that you feel has taken something away from you. So this could be a partner that hurt you, or a bank that took your money, or a religion that shamed you, anything of the sort. Next, I want you to write out the full extent of the hurt and the harm you feel that they have caused you. Open up, allow yourself to fully feel the pain, and be a bit dramatic and self-indulgent. Revel just for this once, without shame, in victimhood. And now, after you've done that, get a new piece of paper and write a thank you letter to the same person or institute, expressing every bit of gratitude that you could ever have for the gifts that their crime against you has granted you. And by the gifts, I mean, consider what you've learned. Consider what new things or people it have brought into your life. Try to find the light side of all the pain that you wrote down in step two. And then last, but not least, write or speak a prayer to the spirit of money. Make sure you thank her for her sacred gift and for enduring her eternal fate among us, for having gifted us it. Tell her you understand and share her pain, and that you promise not to waste her gift. Commit to receiving fully and let her lead you by example. Ask her when to receive her and when to give her away. Ask how to enjoy her best. How you word this is mostly up to you. I could give you word for word a prayer, but honestly, it needs to come from you. I prefer it if you write your own prayers, your own thoughts, your own questions and answers. This because it already taps into your own unconscious and therefore into your existing relationship to money, which makes it already, you know, less unconscious. Let me know how it goes. Good luck. And I'll be back next week with more on sex and money. Thank you for joining me and listening. This is obviously not the end of the story, so stay tuned for more. Next time, we'll dig into the dirt for a new nugget and possibly clear some rocks from the road. Don't forget to like, follow, or subscribe, and check out nomadicnika.com for more. I am your host and awareness coach, Nika, and I hope I see you next time. You can also find me on Instagram at nomadic.nika if you're interested in seeing photos from trips, some of my favorite quotes, and some poetry that I've written myself, possibly another source for some extra potential nuggets.